Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, can you believe it? Last Sunday of 2025. You know, come midnight Wednesday, we're ringing in 2026. And some of you are thinking, what? How did we get there so quickly? Your perspective is, it seems like only yesterday we were ringing in 2025. But then others of you, your perspective is, finally, 2025 has been so long. I've been waiting forever for 2026. For some, the years just fly by. For others, a year seems to take a really long time. Now, age is the obvious difference between those two perspectives. Now, have you thought about this? When you're 5, 1 year is 20% of your life. And so 1 year seems like a really long time. But when you're my age, Lindsay, we'll just say it's a much smaller percentage, okay? Don't be rude to me. Do you see the point? On this last Sunday of 2025, I am going to prepare us for 2026 by giving us God's perspective that He wants for us. God wants us to have, whether we're young or old, an eternal perspective. And we're really just looking at one verse tonight. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. And for those of you taking notes, I'm going to give you the three headings right now. There are no slides for the sermon. I'm in holiday mode. All right, this is my holiday preaching. Okay, and so the three headings are, there is no slide, perspective. All right, perspective. First heading, perspective. The next heading is for the sake of, and the third heading, third and final, is 2026. And so perspective, we're going to get a handle on God's eternal perspective. Then God wants to give us the eternal perspective for a purpose, for the sake of. So that's why for the sake of is the second heading. Then I want to finish with some prayer points for 2026. Perspective for the sake of 2026. And so firstly, perspective. Do you have your Bible open? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. Now, isn't that an interesting sentence? Particularly when we remember that 1 Peter was written in 65 AD, way back then. And here we are at the end of 2025, and the end of all things hasn't happened. What's going on? Did Peter make a mistake? Now, obviously, Peter is not a false apostle. Obviously, we're not to assume Peter made a mistake. Otherwise, we're going to be thinking, how many other mistakes are there in the Bible? No, the key to understanding the end of all things is at hand is to understand why Peter was giving us that information. I mean, note the very next word after the phrase. Therefore. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore. Here's the logic of verse 7. Fact. The end of all things is at hand. Now, what do you do with that fact? Be self-controlled, sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. The application, the stake on the plate, the roll up your sleeves, here's what you do with this fact, is prayer. God trains His children to be praying children. God expects His church to be a praying church. Now, we're going to focus on prayer when we get to our second heading. For right now, though, I want us to ask the question, why is prayer so important? Well, we've been told prayer is so important because the end of all things is at hand. But I suspect we still don't believe the end of all things is at hand. I mean, if Peter wrote it way back 2,000 years ago and the end hasn't come, do we really believe him? And we need to. Because either God's not giving us very good motivation or there is a lie here. Do you know Aesop's fable about the boy who cried wolf? He was looking after the flock of sheep, and every so often he just liked to come to the village and say, "A wolf is coming, danger!" And the village would all come running to protect the boy and protect the sheep, only to find the boy laughing because he just liked to get everyone all stirred up. And he did it a couple of times, but a wolf did turn up. He cried out to the village, "A wolf has come!" And nobody turned up because they knew that this little boy had told so many lies beforehand. What's the moral of Aesop's fable? Even when a liar tells the truth, nobody believes him. Listen, either the end of all things really is at hand, or we should not believe verse 7. So what do we do with this? End of all things is at hand. Turn over a page or two in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now you see why our first heading is perspective. For us, a year seems like a really long time. But in God's way of thinking, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like one day. And so I want you to imagine that the front of this stage is a timeline. And it's a timeline of your life. And let's say you get 80 years on this timeline, yeah? So from there to there, 80 years. Now, when you're 8 years old and you're looking at the end of your timeline, the end seems a very far way away, yeah? You get that? And then I slow down as I get older. When you're 78 years old, the end looks like it's just around the corner. Do you see what we're saying? And so what God's wanting to do with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 is say, this timeline is not the only timeline. There is an eternal timeline as well. And so at this end, way, 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 way out there, when time began, and then all the way over there, far, 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 far away over there, there's an eternal timeline. Can you see the eternal timeline now? It just goes forever, doesn't it? Now, with the eternal timeline on the stage, let's pull out and put in our 80-year timeline again. Can you even see that up the back, guys? Just, yep, some are saying yes, some are saying no. There's our 80 years scrunched in to the eternal timeline. What God is telling us, whether you're young or old, the end of all things is at hand. Can you see that? The end of all things, whether we're young or old, the end of all things is at hand. Peter was not the little boy who cried wolf. The end of all things is really at hand. But do you know who the little boy who cried wolf is? Those who tell you, you can worry about godliness tomorrow. You can worry about holiness tomorrow. You can worry about loving your neighbor tomorrow. You can worry about really loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength tomorrow. Oh, it's a nice afternoon on a Sunday. You can go to church next week. You can pray tomorrow. Today, just get in and fix it. Today, just get in and whinge about it. Brother, sister, don't be led by your passions, be self-controlled. Don't be intoxicated by the trinkets of the world. Be sober. The end of all things is at hand. One day, sooner than you imagine, you and I stand before the throne of God and give an account for how we've used our time, for how we've used our resources, for how we use our money. Don't put off to tomorrow what your heavenly Father is calling you to do today. The end of all things is at hand. Okay, that's point one. That's perspective. Now to our second point, for the sake of. Let's read verse 7 again. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Because the end of all things is at hand, because your life is like a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow, because you will stand before your Creator sooner than you realize, be self-controlled and sober for the sake of your prayers. Can you hear the importance of prayer? God is telling us that prayer is one of the most important things we do. Let me show you why. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulties. Now, just in case you think the last days are somewhere in the future. Now, in the Bible, the last days are the days between Jesus' first advent. That's what we celebrated on Christmas Day. Yeah, that's why I'm pointing to the little baby. If you can't see it up the back, there's a cute little doll down here. Advent, Christmas, the arrival of someone important. That's what Advent means. The Bible also teaches that there will be a second advent of Jesus. Jesus is coming back to wrap everything up. So there's two Advents. The time in between is the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, God is telling us, in the last days, you will find difficulties. Every day we need to pray because every day we are up against difficulties. One of the lies that us Christians believe is that if I do my bit, God will protect me from difficulty. If I pray my prayers, God will get me the job. If I pray my prayer, God will get me into a house. God will get me into a marriage. God will get us pregnant. God will give me the retirement plan that I need. If I say my prayers, kids at school will not bully me. If I say my prayers, my work colleagues won't think I'm some weirdo Christian. I won't lose my reputation. We believe the lie. If I say my prayers, God will not let difficulty strike me. That's the lie. Now let me tell you the truth. It's from Jesus. And it's in Luke chapter 21. So if you want to flip over there, Luke 21 verse 34. Now this is Jesus teaching about the end days. And Jesus is teaching his disciples, so Peter would have been there hearing this. And in Luke 21, verse 34, we hear Jesus teach, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. The second advent of Jesus come upon you like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Boy, that sounds an awful lot like 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. I'm sure Peter had it in mind. Jesus tells us that while we wait for his return, we will have difficulties. The cares of this world, persecution, people tempting us are going to weigh us down. This life is difficult, so pray. Now we think, if I say my prayers, God will not let difficulty happen to me. Jesus says, difficulty is going to happen to you, so pray. It's important to tease out the difference. It's a difference of perspective again. Prayer is not a phone call to some magical genie up in the sky to just keep us out of all difficulty. Prayer is a phone call to the King on his throne. I'm in trouble. Help. And here's why we need to talk to our Father in heaven when we're in difficulty. We need his perspective. When we think, this is it, this is the whole lot, this 80 years is the only timeline that we've got, well, when difficulties come, they become insurmountable. When the bully is giving us a hard time, when we get beaten up, when we lose our job, when we lose our reputation, when we get depression, dementia, cancer, divorced, lose our superannuation, when we're persecuted, tortured, killed for our faith, if our only perspective is this 80 years, those difficulties are insurmountable. They are everything. But that's the wrong perspective. It's not eternal. When we have God's eternal perspective, the difficulties of this life are what the Apostle Paul calls light, momentary affliction. That's why we pray. Every day we pray. Perspective. Perspective. And so here you and I are at the end of 2025, living in the temptation and the testing of difficulties. Before we know it, though, the funeral will be ours. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? This is such an encouraging sermon. It's actually not encouraging, but it is sobering. It's good for us to approach the end of 2025 with sobriety. See, this world is not our home. We are just passing through. And the end of all things is at hand. We are in the middle of difficulties. But before we know it, we're going to be standing before our God. So be self-controlled and sober for the sake of your prayers. And here I want to shift into our final point, 2026. Let's make 2026 a year of prayer. And yes, I know, every year should be a year of prayer. That's why at the point, one of our traditions is, at the end of every year, the sermon is on prayer. Or the first sermon of every year is on Bible reading. Bible reading and prayer is like breathing for the Christian. They're necessary. They're critical. Bible reading is hearing God's voice. We're hearing him speak to us. Prayer is us exhaling, is having his ear. Bible reading and prayer is critical. For the Christian, Bible reading, prayer, critical is breathing. We breathe in his word. We breathe out words to him. Having said that, yes, I am calling us to be a praying church in 2026. You know, early next year, we celebrate our 20th birthday. That's incredible what God has done over the 20 years. And he's grown us from a family of 35 to over 700. We do a lot as a church. Add to that, we live in a culture that finds identity in what we do. You've noticed that, haven't you? When you meet someone new, we no longer ask each other, so, hey, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your family. What things do you enjoy doing? No. When we meet each other, we now say, what do you do? Now, as a church, we will continue to do things. Don't worry about that. When I share these prayer points in a moment, I'm asking us to pray for God to bless some of the things we do in 2026. At the same time, prayer is far more than what we do. Prayer is who we are. Christians are praying people. We are a praying church. If we stop praying, we stop exhaling, and we die. So in 2026, let's own, live, and experience the power of being a praying church. Make sure you use our prayer diary. Make sure you thank and both God and them, our prayer teams. Make use of prayer down the front after church services. You're a Christian. When someone asks you to help, pray. When you're in the middle of a decision or when you're in the middle of a difficulty, enlist prayers. Let's be a praying church. But here are four prayer points from your lead pastor as we close out 2025. I wanted to give 100, but we want to also get out tonight, don't we? So here's four. Firstly, I want to read a couple more verses from 1 Peter 4. So start at verse 7 again. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Pray that we will be the people that God expects us to be. Pray that we will be a people of grace and generosity, not of expectation and consumerism. Remember, the end of all things is at hand. The next interaction you have with someone from church family just might be the last interaction you have with them. And so let's approach each other with grace and generosity, not with expectation and consumerism. Secondly, we're going to pour a whole lot of energy next year into our evangelism course. It's going to kick off mid-March. Get ready to hear stuff straight away into the new year. More about that to come, but let's start praying now. There are 90,000 people in the Hastings. 90,000 within a one-hour drive of us. Most of whom do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that God will give us desperate hearts to see the lost saved. Pray that God will give us boldness to be inviting our friends to church and to this evangelism course. Pray that God is going to turn up to save. Thirdly, we've been talking about a church plant in Kempsey for so long. The need is greater 5 years down the track than it was 5 years ago. Just last Sunday, we had four Christians travel down for our church services, two in the morning, two at Arvo, coming along, traveling from Kempsey all the way down. I tell them, stop coming. They never listen. The reason why I say it would be good if you had a church in Kempsey to go to is because you can't bring your non-Christian neighbour all the way to Port. You as a Christian might come, but non-Christian come, that's a big, big ask, isn't it? We want to start a church in Kempsey. The point group in Kempsey is slowly growing. There's questions we're regularly getting asked, when is it going to start? I'm hopeful 2026 is going to be the year, okay? But let's pray. Let's pray for God to provide the planter. We need the man to plant the church. That's all we're praying for. So let's go. That's exciting. Fourthly and finally, pray for our mission campus. A permanent home will make a massive difference for our evangelism, for our discipleship of one another, for our presence on the mid-north coast. The opportunity is huge. It's exciting. And there's only one thing holding us back, a little thing called money. The sum for us, it is significant. For God, it's just one problem. And so let's pray. Let's pray that for the strategy to raise the money. Let's pray for continued church unity as we raise the money. Let's pray for God's blessing that we can be in our own home, our permanent home, sooner rather than later. Brothers and sisters, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. As we come to the close of this sermon, I'm mindful that what this sermon sounds like is simply your lead pastor calling you to pray more. It sounds like I'm just putting another burden on you for 2026. But Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so let me be crystal clear in closing. We need the eternal perspective, because while we wait for Jesus' return, we will suffer difficulties, the weight of many difficulties. In 2026, there will be difficulty. The good news of Jesus is not come to Jesus and God will wipe away all your difficulty. The good news of Jesus is come to Jesus and you will have help in your difficulty. And Jesus is that help. Jesus is why we need to change our knee-jerk reaction. You know, our knee-jerk reaction to difficulty is either, let's just get in and fix it, I'm going to do something, I'm going to fix this, or I'm just going to sit here and whinge about it. Jesus is the reason we need to change from just do or just whinge to pray. Because get this. Right now, Jesus is in heaven praying for you, praying for us. Jesus is the one who leads us in prayer. The more you and I see him, the more you and I know him, the more you and I love him, the more you and I are just going to pray. We're going to be a praying people. You see, Jesus is our eternal perspective. We're not simply longing for no more difficulty. We're longing for Jesus. Jesus is our eternal perspective. Jesus is our eternal love. That's why we're a praying people. Let's pray. Oh, Father, it is extraordinary that you've always been, that there's never been a time where you have not been. You spoke and a whole universe existed. Right now, you are keeping it all going. And you're the one who says, now, children, talk to me. Pray. Oh, Father, would you so capture our hearts more and more. Father, would we be obedient to you? Would we love to obey you more and more? Would prayer be as natural to us as breathing out is as natural to us? We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.